I'm here today with Brady Madden, the founder of Evergreen Digital, an SEO agency specializing in catering to cannabis businesses. My name is Mac Lunn, and as always, we're meeting with members of our community to learn more about their business, their personal lives, and what's on the horizon for their future. Brady, thank you for being with us today. Can you give us a quick introduction to who you are and what exactly it is that Evergreen Digital does?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on. Definitely appreciate the opportunity to chat with you today. So my name is Brady Madden. I'm the founder and CEO of Evergreen Digital. We're a search engine optimization agency primarily focused on the cannabis space. I got my start in cannabis about 7 years or so ago now. It's around 2017. I was the marketing director for pretty decent sized CBD company. So I started more on the hemp side of things. We had about 6 or 7 e-commerce stores. We had a B2B offering. We were doing drop shipping. We were doing white label manufacturing. A number of different things. And so that was, and this is coming after a number of years in the digital marketing space. I've been in digital marketing for about 15 years or so. So I was very, very familiar with all the different aspects of it, but I had really just started going really deep on the search engine optimization or the SEO side of things. And that was really where I kind of found the cannabis industry. I have a background in outside of digital marketing in vitamins and supplements and nutrition programs and things like that. And so cannabis is something that I always have looked at as though it's like a supplement because a lot of people are deficient in cannabinoids. And so for me, it just kind of made sense to be able to, help companies and cannabis businesses grow their SEO efforts and be able to educate people about the plant and the health benefits of it and all those things as well. So after about 3 years as the marketing director at the e-commerce and hemp company that I talked about, I started my own thing in early 2020 with Evergreen Digital and have been doing this ever since. So.
Oh, that's awesome. So it sounds like you had a pretty good grasp on the marketing before you started the company by doing the marketing for the CBD company itself and sort of outgrew that and made it bigger than just your company, global companies.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was in marketing really back from my days in nutritional supplements. And I think that was really where I learned the power of digital marketing. I mean, I had a point where I was getting new customers who were giving me their credit card and information over Twitter to buy supplements and buy other things for me. And I was just like, man, if I can be able to reach somebody from where I'm at instead of having to come into an office setting or something like that, this is awesome. And so, that was like 2010 timeframe somewhere in there. So I've really been kind of all in on digital since then. So I spent a number of years at some large agencies working on some, big Fortune 500 and above companies, SEO and other areas. And so that's really where it kind of got me educated on digital marketing. And then I just cut my teeth on the cannabis space, like I had mentioned. And so that was really where I kind of honed the skill set.
I had a similar story in my past where I realized you could make money just with your thoughts and ideas on the internet, and it's so much more scalable because you only have 40 hours in a week to work. Yep. But if you're selling your thoughts, it can just be reprinted and reused and expanded and extrapolated.
Absolutely.
But so you were doing it for a CBD company, and who's your customer now? Is it growers, dispensaries, delivery services?
It's really all types, actually all the above, I'd say. I'd say primarily I'm working with dispensaries just because that's one of the biggest ones, and the local SEO for dispensaries is a really, important thing, as I mentioned before, because there's not a lot of things you can do outside of SEO, although there are a lot of advertising and, unique creative things that cannabis companies can do nowadays. They're not as, a lot of the pay-to-play spaces and things like that aren't as easy to get into and things like that. So dispensaries and then all sorts of, B2B operators. I've worked with a number of emulsion providers, hemp beverages and things like that. And just beverages in general have also been something that I've spent a lot of time on in the last couple of years. So I really am pretty well versed across the industry and can really take my strategy and my process to and adjust that so that it's more meant for the business itself. Is it meant to bring in leads or is it meant to bring in local people and foot traffic and drive sales? So,
mm-hmm. Oh, I can imagine the dispensary specifically would be hyper local and some, might be national or international. So
Yeah. And hyper local, and hyper local on all the markets they're in, you know? So if they've got four locations and they're all in different cities, then it's like, you got to be hyper local on all four of those cities. And so I think that that's one thing that it can look easy on the outside of just, oh yeah, sure, do some local SEO. And it's like, okay, cool. Well, how many cities are you in? How many do you have to do that for? How many products do you have? You know, and then how competitive are those cities? Are you the only dispensary in the city, or are you one of 20 and it's not that big of a city? And that's where things are getting kind of unique these days and causing a lot of issues for operators and other things like that in the cannabis space.
Mm-hmm. Is there a lot of competition in most cities now?
It depends where you're at. You know, typically the more mature the state, the more competition you're going to see. Mm-hmm. And also, depending on the state, is also going to depend on how many licenses they've allowed. Like here in Michigan, mm-hmm. for instance, we just have like an overabundance of licenses. And so it's like anybody can open up anywhere. And I've seen cities like Muskegon, Michigan, that are, you know, not very far. And they probably have at their peak in the middle of the summer, 20-some thousand, 30,000 people. And they've got 10 dispensaries that are all within like a couple miles of each other. So it's definitely causing issues and, you know, becoming a problem. But then you've got states like Ohio that are just opening up and they're just having, you know, they only have so many licenses that they've given out so far. So it's very unique, and across the country, it's really just going to depend.
Wow. Yeah. So when you're helping these folks with their strategy, for reaching new customers and reaching, you know, other businesses to work with, how do you fill that niche? Like what sets you apart in the cannabis field?
Yeah. That's a good question. So I think the biggest thing for me is that I've got a lot of SEO experience outside of cannabis, and then I've been able to bring it to cannabis and then hone it in for cannabis specifically. You know, so it's like I've been able to see a lot of different strategies that have been executed across B2B, large enterprise organizations, all the way down to, you know, the small mom and pop shop that's, you know, got an e-commerce store. And so I think just the breadth of experience of having, you know, 15 plus years of digital marketing, SEO, e-commerce, and all that type mm-hmm. of experience, and then bringing that to cannabis and then having direct experience inside of that, I think that's really what separates me from a lot of people. I don't necessarily know a lot of people who have, they might have a lot of SEO experience or they might have cannabis experience, but I don't necessarily meet a lot of people that have both of them. And so mm-hmm. I think that's one of the biggest things is just being able to have, you know, a couple different perspectives and being able to merge those perspectives mm-hmm. And mold them into what they need to be for a cannabis company.
You're sort of that middle area of the Venn diagram that's really teeny tiny, but it's hyper specific to what your clients need.
Yep, absolutely.
So your clients, when you're meeting with them and you're telling them what you can do, what's most important for them to know going into a project? What do they need to understand about what you're going to be doing?
That's a good question. I think it depends. You know, it definitely depends if it's a B2B organization or if it's a B2C dispensary or something like that. But what I always try to do is I always try to make sure that they know what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. You know, it's like we're not going to just tweak a few things on the page because we are going to do it for our health. You know, it's like everything that we're going to do is going to have there's some sort of benefit to it that I've either seen and have used in the past and been able to get good results with, or it's something related to helping the user convert better on the website. You know, because it's like I don't want to help a business attract a lot of traffic and capture a lot of demand for search and then not be able to convert them afterwards, you know? So I think that that's really the big thing is just operators should definitely know that there's a lot of things that go into SEO. It's not just some simple thing that you can hire somebody overseas for, you know, a cheap amount of dollars per hour to have them, you know, outsource your entire strategy and those sorts of things. There's a lot that goes into it, and there's a lot of adjustment that needs to happen because, you know, SEO has best practices just like any other industry does, but it's really being able to know and understand those best practices and then mold them or move them based on the company, the product type, and, you know, the different things around that. So I think that that's probably the biggest thing is that, you know, it definitely takes time and it definitely takes a lot of insight into the business. And so if you're working with somebody who's really focused on like keywords and rankings, but they're not asking you about what are your top selling products, what are your main KPIs, what are those sorts of things, I definitely think that that's something that they should watch out for and, you know, be aware of too, that it's like, we're not trying to get you traffic just to get you traffic. We need to get you traffic because you either want to bring in leads or you want to bring in sales. And so, you know, making sure that you're working with somebody that's got that mentality, I think is important.
Definitely. I think that is really important. And in the limited experience that I have with SEO, I know a lot of clients want to know how much am I spending? And that's so variable because you can spend less and achieve more or vice versa, depending on the strategy. So being mindful of what you're spending is bringing in, that is great.
Yeah.
So on-page efforts versus off-page efforts, what does that look like for you? Can you optimize a site before you do paid efforts? And what does that scope look like?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think with on-page and off-page, you definitely need them both. You know, it's not a question of should I do one or should I do the other, or, you know, should I put a lot into one and a lot into the other. I think when I look at on-page SEO tasks, those are the things we can control. You know, it's like those are the easiest things. Like we can't control rankings and we can't control where Google ultimately puts us. You know, all we can do is just try to adjust and manipulate the site based on knowledge and experience of the past, and, you know, be able to optimize for whoever you said your main customer and audience is. And so to me, like, I look at on-site optimizations and on-site SEO as just like, this is what we have control over. So let's make sure that we've got, you know, our best foot forward. We've got optimized metadata. We've got optimized title tags. We've got, you know, all the things that are inside of our control are looking as good as they possibly can, from just like an on-site perspective. And then when you start to look off-site, the off-site's important because that's a lot of times even what drives the on-site. You know, like, I think one of the big things in SEO right now that kind of goes overlooked is having a brand. You know, like having a real brand that people search for on a monthly basis is an SEO hack that doesn't get talked about enough, I don't think. You know, it's like if you look at your brand and you pull up your brand and you see that your brand is searched for, you know, 300 or 400 times a month, but then you look at some of your competitor brands and they're getting searches in like the tens of thousands of, you know, those sorts of things. It's like Google is going to tend to rank the more better known or the more popular in their eyes, the more popular brand better than, you know, some of the smaller ones. Now, that's not to say that a small mom and pop dispensary couldn't compete against a really well-known brand that's just got, like, you know, millions of dollars backing them and that sorts of things. Like, that's not to say that. It's just to say that, like, offsite stuff is important because you're driving people to, you know, this website that you've created a funnel for to help close orders. You know, it's like if you're running a billboard, where do you want them to go? You want them to go to your website. If you're doing a sponsorship with somebody else, where do you want them to go? You're trying to drive them to your website. And so driving more people to your website and driving traffic to your website is a good way to show Google that you have a brand, users are already making it there already. And so thus they should, you know, rank you for other terms. So not that there's an exact direction there, but, you know, obviously that's going to be important. And then also link building, you know, like for what we know today with Google, the main two ranking factors are content and links. So we already talked about the content with the on-page stuff, but with links, it's like you need to have high quality, reputable links that are coming from sites with actual traffic, not like PBNs that are just kind of sitting out there and not bringing in any sort of traffic, but you need links from those sites. And having links from those sites is another sign to Google that, hey, people are clicking and searching and mentioning this brand in other areas of the web, and they're finding their way back to this website. And so, you know, those are some of the ranking signals that Google can be able to tap into their algorithm overall and help you rank better for everything that you want to rank for.
So providing value of people going to the site will boost you up organically in that sense, at least.
Providing value for people, I think, yeah. I mean, I think in the sense of, like, if you have a page that's like, what are terpenes, or let's say it's like maybe somebody searches Pineapple Express vape, you know, and you've got a good native e-commerce menu that allows you to capture that search and bring them in. If they land there and it's not a Pineapple Express vape, like, that's not giving value to that person. But if they land on that page and it is a vape, it's something you can order, it's got some decent information on there and those kind of things, then it's like, that is adding value. So yeah, adding value is definitely a piece of the puzzle. I think with SEO, what it's really about is it's about putting value out into the universe, and then it allows you to attract people coming back in, because you're essentially just giving, you know, putting everything out there for free, and then that's what's helping you attract your value to come back in. So
That's awesome. And and you mentioned like meta keyword hierarchy. Does site speed and mobile optimization, does that play a big role in SEO ranking?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Google's been on mobile first indexing for a while now, that's certainly going to be an important you know, step in the process. But it's also not necessarily something that needs to continue to happen over and over again, if that makes sense. And I'm sure that there's somebody out there technical that'll crush me on that and say, you know, we need to do something site audit once a month and we find ways to increase speed. And sure, I'm sure you do, you know, problems crop up all the time on websites. But I think it's really, you want to get it as fast as you can. But at the same time, understand that some of the speed tests, like Google's, even their own speed test, I've taken those, given them to the developers, and the developer says, okay, in order to make this happen, we either need to remove this critical plugin or remove this other thing over here that has this, you know, this list of business things. Like one of them, for instance, I did a site speed audit, and essentially they were saying that they need to get rid of their reviews widget. And it's like, well, this reviews widget's awesome. And they're not going to do that because they want to keep their reviews on the website. So if it's between speeding the site up this much and getting rid of a bunch of reviews, I'll keep the reviews all day long, because that's going to help convert people more, you know? So super definitely important things. You want to make sure you're mobile optimized, you're mobile friendly. But it's typically something that you can just kind of keep an eye on and make sure that it's there, but you don't necessarily need to continue to redo, you know, mobile optimization and that type of stuff as you go.
That's interesting. That's good to know. So how do you evaluate? Are there KPIs that you look for measurements of success when you're working with a client? Like what do you value as something to track success?
That's a good question. Typically sales are going to be a good one, you know, especially if it's an e-commerce store. Sales are what typically everybody's going for. But if it's B2B, then it's usually going to be leads. And then there's some other things that can be leading indicators, you know, like there can be organic clicks that are coming through for specific keywords, and really honing in on those keywords, like what are those terms that you want to rank for? And, you know, what was the ranking when you started, and what is the ranking 3 months? What is the ranking 6 months after, you know, this project was started? Excuse me. But I think those are typically going to be the biggest ones, are leads and sales. And then after that, it's going to be, you know, if it's a dispensary, it's going to be, hey, how do we rank in our local area for dispensary related terms or product related terms or product category related terms? And what type of traffic are we capturing on those things? So I think there's a lot of different things. I always try to have a conversation with, you know, clients up front of just like, hey, like what are you expecting out of this? You know, like what types of things are you looking for? Here's what I'm looking for. And we kind of have a discussion back and forth and just really kind of meet that point where we can say, where we can essentially just put together a report for them. Because for me, it's like I'm going to be meeting with that client once a month, and I'm going to be giving them some kind of a report on just where their trends are at, where, you know, what type of things have been done to the website, you know, and just kind of like looking at all that stuff. So I think ultimately it's like there's a lot of good things you can look at and a lot of good things you can track. But at the end of the day, you know, it's usually going to be sales and leads are what people are doing these things for. So
how long would it take you to notice that change or that uptick?
I usually tell people to give it 90 days, although Google themselves say that it can take up to 4 to 6 months to notice the full effect of an organic change. And so, you know, that's definitely something to kind of keep in mind. But I typically say that as long as we're applying the work and we're starting to apply ourselves inside of that 90 days, you should at least notice something. But that said, it's not always the case. You know, sometimes people are just like, they maybe have a really well optimized site, and so we need to do some really deep dev work, or maybe it's just that competitive of a space. But the good thing to know about SEO is that it may be slower moving at times, but at the same time, it compounds on top of itself. So meaning the work that we do in the first 90 days is going to compound into the you know, second 90 days and into the third 90 days. And then the work that's done over the first year, it should compound into that next year. And so you may have content, links, and other things on the website that you got last year or the year before that that are still providing benefit to you this year. And so it definitely takes a little bit of time, especially if you're getting caught in some bad situations, like maybe you bought some bad links, maybe you got yourself suspended for one reason or another, or if you've done any of those type of things, or if you just don't have a brand, if nobody's Googling your brand because you named your dispensary near me, or, you know, like something interesting like that, and maybe nobody's searching it because you're not doing any sort of work on that, then mm-hmm. those things are going to slow it down and make the process take a little bit longer. So if you're not, I guess I should just back up and just make that point that if you think SEO is just going to save you, that's not going to happen. You know, like, you can't just do SEO. It's one marketing channel, but you still need to brand yourself. You still got to have an email program, a social media program, like all those type of things. So you can't just do SEO and expect it to be everything. There also has to be other stuff going on that helps drive those branded searches and other things like I was talking about earlier.
Oh, that's a really good point. So as far as tools of the trade go, what are the tools of the trade that accomplish these goals? Do you have any recommendations for what
you use? Yeah, so Google Analytics, that's going to be a good one. That, you know, free, loaded up on your website. I know people use different forms of it. Google Analytics 4 is kind of goofy nowadays, so I know people are using Adobe and some other things, which I think is totally fine. I just personally like to use Google Analytics just because it's free, load on the site, and you can get rolling. And then the other thing specific to organic search is going to be Google Search Console. That's another one. You know, a lot of great things can be done inside of Google Search Console. A lot of good information can be found inside of there. Typically, I'm building my reports using those two tools, Analytics and Google Search Console. Mm-hmm. And then there's some other SEO tools, SEMrush, Ahrefs. I know both of them have free versions of them that operators or anybody could in the cannabis industry looking for some help on SEO can do some things on there if they're wanting to, you know, kind of do it themselves. They've got some great, they've also got some great academies and blogs inside of both of those platforms for SEMrush and Ahrefs. Screaming Frog is another great tool to help crawl websites and, you know, audit websites and things like that. And those are the main ones I use. I know that there's others. I use a couple of different like reporting softwares, or like Looker Studio is another one that I use. That's a Google property, but it pulls in data from Google Analytics 4 and Search Console. And so there's plenty of other things. What's another good one? The SEO Arcade is a tool that I love because it helps me bundle research on keywords and competitors and rankings and things like that, and really kind of get an idea of what the lay of the land is. So if I'm looking for like a dispensary in a specific city or in a, you know, something else, it's going to be able to kind of help lay that information out for me so that I can, you know, be able to use it in ways that we need. So yeah, there's other tools I know, but those are kind of the main ones I use.
Well, that's great. You got me writing a bunch of the names down. I haven't heard of several of those. Are there any that are, is there any impact from technology tools like AI that's coming out, or anything that have helped you along the way or hurt? Is there anything you avoid?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely got to be careful with it. Like, if you just drop in anything into an AI tool right now, it's going to give you an answer, but you don't know if the answer is going to be right or wrong. You know, like, I've tested it, asking SEO questions, best practices, and different things here and there, and it's not always right. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. But yeah, I think it's helped in a lot of ways. I think it's helped in like a content way. You know, seems to be some people out there that think that Google is not about AI content and saying that you can't do it. And that's not necessarily the case. From what I've seen from Google is that they say that if you generate a lot of AI content and a lot of pages off of that, and they're all unhelpful, and you put them on your website, well, then that's where they have a problem. But you know, Google, especially with Gemini and the tools that they have, it's like they want you to use AI. They just want you to use their AI. That can be a great tool for writing content again, but you need to edit it heavily. So spending a lot of time doing that. And I know it can run some different analyses and things like that, but again, it's not always going to come up with the right recommendations, and it's not always going to be able to understand the nuances of the cannabis industry or of this or that, or, you know, regulations and laws inside of a state. Like Massachusetts is going to be way different from Seattle and Washington and other states. So lots of good things I think that'll come from it, but it needs a lot more time.
Mm-hmm. That's good. What results are you getting from your current clients? Do you have any case studies of late that have interest?
Yeah, and of course, I'm trying to think of exact numbers off the top of my head, which I don't have, but I have a number of, you know, great case studies for clients, of whether they're, you know, dispensaries that I know specifically one in Massachusetts. I supported them for a long time when they were on an iframe menu, which essentially Google can't read or understand. And then we migrated them to a native menu option. And I know inside of a year, they've seen some massive growth in not only their local rankings, but also their product rankings. So they're ranking for a lot more product terms, descriptions, you know, and other things that that people are interested in. I've helped some B2B providers create some awesome success and results and things like that with their leads. Again, I don't have the specific percentages and things like that, but I know it's more than 50% growth in leads over a, you know, 6 month to a year period. And so, yeah, lots of great success and things like that we've seen inside of cannabis, whether they're B2B or B2C.
Oh, that's awesome. So you're located in Michigan, right? Do you have a lot of clients in Michigan? I know you have a lot in Colorado. So are you nationwide in who you service?
Yeah. The fortunate part about what I do is I can really service clients anywhere. So I'm based in Michigan here. I have done some traveling around the U.S. And I, you know, still try to attend different events. But certainly working in the Michigan markets, as you mentioned, Colorado, Massachusetts, New Jersey, I mean, really kind of all over the states right now. So there's plenty of states that I haven't quite been into yet, but I'm certainly open to and willing to grow. And as more states open up, like Ohio's coming online right now, and I know that there's a lot of others that are doing the same. You know, always happy to help. And I think that's one of the unique things with cannabis operators is that, you know, I've worked in both mature markets and new markets like New Jersey and things like that opening up. And it's unique to see every time a new state comes online, there's new laws, new regulations, but every single operator that I'm working with in, you know, any sort of new market, they've got a lot of the same questions. They've got a lot of the same problems. And so it's nice to be able to offer experience based off of, you know, past states and past environments that I've been in, that I've been able to kind of share a lot of the knowledge that I've had, and, you know, keep operators from making different types of mistakes, whether it's on their menu or their website overall, or, you know, anything that's could potentially impact their SEO.
I bet that's extremely useful. As new states come on board, are there any limitations to what you are able to advertise across state lines, or...
The nice thing is that since you're doing it on your website, it's not necessarily happening across state lines. I mean, if you're talking advertising, you know, like let's say you're in Ohio and you're trying to advertise in Indiana, which is still illegal, there's probably going to be some issues there. But from an organic website standpoint, not necessarily. It's usually just how. Like I think for a while in Michigan, when Michigan first, you know, had the rec market open up, we couldn't say the term dispensary. We had to say provisioning center. Or in Massachusetts, I know with their deals or like their specials, they can't say specials or deals or anything like that. So I think we have to use like offers or other terms like that, unless they're specifically marketing to the person one-on-one. And so there's usually little, you know, unique things like that, that we kind of have to work around, or hoops that we have to jump through and those kind of things. So that's always fun dealing with that.
That is interesting. And it's good that you know all that and you've got the experience, because I imagine a lot of it's pretty nuanced, where it wouldn't be very intuitive for people to figure out right away. But
yeah. Even the stuff that has an explanation doesn't always make sense. So sometimes it's like, how about you guys give this to your compliance officer, let your compliance officer figure it out, and then tell me what we need to do on the website, and then we'll make it happen. So, yeah.
Like the terminology, especially some of the industries I work with, are very sensitive about what words you use, but at the end of the day, they're synonyms. So that's interesting. Well, so if you were in the cannabis industry and you wanted to hire you, how would they reach you? Like, where would they find more information about who you are and get in touch?
Yeah, great question. I think my website's the best place. So just evergreenseoservices.com is a good place to be able to reach me. You know, I've got some different resources and things on there that I just kind of give some information out for free. But you can, you know, fill out a contact form. You can always reach me on LinkedIn. I'm just Brady Madden on LinkedIn. And I think if you search Brady with Evergreen Digital or something like that, you'll find me. But yeah, mm-hmm. those are probably the best places.
I imagine your SEO is pretty easy to track you down.
For sure. Especially if you type my name in or my business name.
Yeah.
Kind of an SEO joke, but yeah. Yeah.
Well, Brady, I can't thank you enough for being with us today. I know I've learned a lot and I hope people at home have too. So thank you again and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.